A blue sign hurtles through space toward a green planet. Turner. Now a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now in a black and white film, titles appear against a lace and satin background. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents Greta Garbo as Marguerite and Robert Taylor as Armand in Camille. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by descriptive video service WGBH Boston. Described by Robin Sitton and Christina Faust. Descriptions read by Philip Patrone. Funding provided by the United States Department of Education. Opening titles continue. Copyright 1936 by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Corporation, controlled by Lowe's Incorporated. Directed by George Cukor. Screenplay by Zoe Akins, Francis Marion, and James Hilton. From the play and novel by Alexandre Dumas-Fils. Musical score by Herbert Stothert. Cast, Greta Garbo as Marguerite, Robert Taylor as Armand, Lionel Barrymore as Monsieur Duval, Henry Daniel as Baron de Varville, Lenore Ulrich as Olympe, Laura Hope Cruz as Prudence. Words appear. 1847. In the gay half-world of Paris, the gentlemen of the day met the girls of the moment at certain theaters, balls, and gambling clubs, where the code was discretion, but the game was romance. This is the story of one of those pretty creatures who lived on the quicksands of popularity, Marguerite Gautier, who brightened her wit with champagne and sometimes her eyes with tears. Now, on a wide Parisian street, two gentlemen wearing top hats and frock coats stroll past a flower shop. Inside, an elderly woman picks up a bouquet of white flowers and sniffs them. She carries them outside to a carriage.
For the lady of the Camille.
A woman in the carriage accepts them.
And they're almost twice as large as usual.
I shall have twice as many as usual tomorrow.
Twice as many? Oh, don't listen to her, Bergeron. I know what those things cost.
Aren't you willing to listen to her when she orders her hats and dresses from you?
They're an investment.
Of course, I order so many flowers and so many hats and so many everything. But I want them to the theater.
The young woman rides away with her portly companion.
And there's no limit to your extravagance. Now, you won't be young forever. It's high time you settle something about your future. And I know the very man for you.
Really?
Yes, really. Well, aren't you interested enough even to want to know who it is?
Oh, yes, who is it?
Baron de Varville. One of the richest and most elegant gentlemen in Paris.
One foot in the grave, I suppose, and a wig on his head.
Not at all. Quite the contrary. He's young and handsome. I heard from one of the girls in my shop who heard from his valet. He's going to be at the theater tonight. That's why I wanted you to look your best.
Later, on a theater stage, can-can dancers prance in a circle and toss up their frilled petticoats as they turn. Their matching low-cut dresses fit tightly to their trim waists. They wave fans and boas as they perform their high-kicking steps. In the lobby, the carriage passenger, Marguerite, holds the hem of her shimmering white gown as she walks up an ornate staircase. Her companion, Prudence, follows, glancing around at the faces of the other theater-goers. She waves an usher over.
Come here. I want to send a note, and I'll give you a handsome tip if you get it to the right person. Do you know the Baron de Varville?
Yes, madame.
Good.
Marguerite passes through a crowd of gentlemen wearing silk top hats and frilled shirts. They stare after her, open-mouthed, as she walks to the balcony and idly drums her fingers on the banister.
Well, that's done. We go this way.
Prudence stops in front of a wall mirror and pinches her doughy cheeks.
My dear, you're as good as a baroness already. Don't forget, I arranged it all.
Where are we sitting for the
box? Box A, of course. I always ask for box A. The Baron can't miss it. Come, old girl, open box A.
Someone else is in there.
Good evening, madame.
Let me see your ticket.
Here.
Why, this says box B.
I ask for box A.
Well, if you'd wear your spectacles, you'd see what you're getting.
None of your lips.
Not so much fuss, Prudence.
Wait, who's in there?
A friend of yours?
Prudence gapes.
Oh, lamp.
Right. Well, what's so funny about it, I'd like to know.
Are you arranged everything for old lamp?
Yes. If you think I'm going to let a cheating, lying wretch like that upset my plans, you're wrong. She's got to change places with us.
Well, fight it out, ladies.
The usher scurries off.
My angel.
Marguerite, darling.
A dark-haired woman.
Oh, how are you, my dear? How beautiful we look this evening.
What nice perfume. What is it?
That's my secret. And how are you, you old rubber?
You're great for teasing, aren't you? Is there any point in our staying out here in this draft?
Prudence pushes her way
look
in.
Look here, Lamp. There's been a little mistake about our tickets, and we want you to change boxes with us.
Why? What I can't understand is why you must sit in this box when yours is just as good.
Well, you know Prudence. She's a woman full of secrets. Even changing her corset is a great mystery.
Some things have to be a mystery. But if you'll do what I ask you to do, I'll send you that fur toque for a present.
It's a bargain. During the intermission, I'll move. Come here, Marguerite.
They take their seats inside a private compartment overlooking the audience. Olympe, a petite woman with exaggerated features, wears a sequined off-the-shoulder gown. Downstairs.
A note for Monsieur le Baron.
An usher hands a note to a gentleman who reads it through a monocle. There will be a seat in box A for Monsieur le Baron de Verville with a certain lady who hopes he will honor her with his presence.
Just box A.
There, Monsieur le Baron, at the left.
Show me to my seat.
Doesn't Monsieur le Baron wish to send an answer?
I'll wait. Decide that later.
Following the usher to his seat, Baron de Varville removes his tall hat. A stern-faced man with short wavy hair and a long pinched nose, he sits down, then glances up at Olympe's box. Prudence spots him through her lorgnette. De Varville looks back at the stage, where the curtain falls over a folk dance scene. In their box, the women scan the audience as patrons stand for intermission. A handsome young man stands near de Varville.
My dear, do you see that gentleman standing up?
Which one?
In the second row on the aisle.
Olympe fixes the Baron in her opera glasses. Marguerite looks at the other man.
Yes, do you know him?
I know who he is. He's the fabulously rich de Varville, Baron de Varville.
The younger man has soft, soulful eyes and dark hair.
I didn't know that rich man ever looked like that.
Oh, this one does. He's looking at us. He's seen us looking at him.
Olympe simpers at the Baron. The other man bows to Marguerite. She raises her thin eyebrows encouragingly, and he hurries from the theater floor.
I've changed my mind, Prudence. You can keep your fur toque. The Baron de Varville is on his way to this box, and I'm going to stay and meet him.
But he's coming here to meet me.
Oh, so that's what you had up your sleeve.
I invited him to join us here myself.
Nothing could be better. Thank you, my dear Prudence, for arranging it. But having done so much, you really must let me receive him alone.
Unfortunately, I like him too.
Why unfortunately?
Because his eyes have made love to me all evening.
That's a lie. He barely glanced at you. I never took my glasses from his face, except for an instant to let him see mine.
Perhaps that was the instant he smiled at me.
He did not smile at you, and he won't meet you here.
Then he must look for me somewhere else.
Sit down, Marguerite. Listen, Olympe. I appeal to your sense of honor. If you have such a thing...
Oh, shut up, you dreadful old woman. Get out of here before I have you dragged out.
Oh, come, Prudence. You really are a fool, Olympe.
You're the fool.
They start to leave.
Oh, you know that Prudence is nothing but an old vulture.
She called me a vulture. That one who'd pick a dead man's pocket.
Olympe blocks Marguerite's exit.
Now I'll tell you something else. If you don't stop being so easygoing with your money, you land in the gutter before you're through. Or back on that farm where you came from, milking cows and cleaning out hen houses.
Cows and chickens make better friends than I've ever met in Paris.
Prudence gets an usher.
Come here. Stop The Baron going to Box A. Tell him to join us in Box B. Hurry, hurry.
De Varville's at Box A.
Monsieur le Baron, there has been a mistake, Monsieur le Baron. The lady who sent you the note does not wish you to go to Box A, but to join her and her friend in Box B.
Oh, so it is you. Do come in, Monsieur.
But your answer, Monsieur le Baron.
You may say that for the moment. I am engaged.
On the landing, Marguerite carries her camellia bouquet to the top of the stairs. Her admirer races up the curving staircase, then stops when he sees her. Marguerite's wide smile shows off her high cheekbones. As she walks back to her box, her admirer hurries behind.
Are you following me?
Yes, you... Well, you did smile at me a moment ago, didn't you?
Well, you tell me first whether you smiled at me or at my friend.
What friend?
You didn't even see her?
No.
That's very nice.
I was just wondering if you'd ask me to sit down if I knocked at the door of the box.
Why not? We really seemed fated to meet this evening, didn't we?
Taking his arm, Marguerite falls in step beside him. She's tall and trim with ringlet curls draped down around her shoulders. She smiles brightly as she leads her new escort to Theater Box B, across the mezzanine from Olympe's box. Marguerite shoots a wink at Olympe, who pokes out her tongue behind her fan. The handsome man helps Marguerite to her seat.
Fate must have had something to do with this. I've hoped for it so long. You don't believe me?
No.
The first time I saw you was a year and a half ago. You were in an open carriage and dressed in white. I saw you get out and go into a shop in the Place de la Bourse.
Yes, that might have happened. I used to go to a dressmaker in Place de la Bourse.
You were wearing a thin dress with miles of ruffles, a large straw hat, an embroidered shawl, a single bracelet and a heavy gold chain. And, of course, the camellias at your waist.
You have a marvelous memory, haven't you?
The next time was at the Opéra Comique. You were sitting in a box with a fur coat on, and Gaston, a chap whom I know and who knows you, said Marguerite's been ill. And that hurt me. The next time...
But tell me, if all you say is true, why have you never spoken to me before?
Well, in the first place, I didn't know you.
You didn't know me tonight.
No. But after you smiled at me, I knew you wouldn't mind.
And now, since you've met me...
Now I know that I love you. And I have loved you since that first day.
Marguerite holds him in a lingering gaze. Prudence returns with a grinning fellow.
After what happened, I had to have a brandy.
And after that, two brandies.
Yes, and then he made me have another.
Well, that's only four. Suppose you go and have another, Prudence, and then another.
Well, you don't want to get me drunk, do you?
She wants to get rid of us. Can't you see? She wants to be alone with my friend.
For once in your life, you're quite right, Gaston.
Who is your friend, anyway?
Baron de Varville. This is my neighbor, Madame de Vernois.
Baron de Varville?
He, the Baron de Varville.
No wonder she wanted to get rid of us.
Well, I never said I was the Baron anybody.
There's the Baron de Varville, sitting over there big as life with that wretch Olympe.
Really?
Certainly.
The young man frowns.
Well, this is rather funny.
Funny?
Yes, I quite agree with you. It is funny.
Oh, even if you're not Baron de Varville, sit down.
I can scarcely believe I'm wanted now that my unimportance has been discovered.
Don't be silly. Who are you, anyhow?
My name is Armand Duval. I've never had any reason to be ashamed of it.
Oh, Armand Duval.
Yes.
I'm not always sincere. One can't be in this world, you know. But I am not sorry the mistake happened.
Nor am I.
The Baron keeps looking over here. That must worry your lamp.
Well, as long as you don't wish to sit down, would you go and buy me some sweets? You can afford a pound of marron glaces, even if you're not the rich Baron, can't you?
I'll not come back with your sweets too soon.
Marguerite fingers the large jewels around her neck as she watches him go. Prudence and Gaston leave laughing. Across the mezzanine, Baron de Varville watches Marguerite through his monocle.
What is your friend's name?
Well, I'm not sure which friend you mean.
The girl in the opposite box whom you just spoke to.
Oh, her. Well, she's hardly a friend. I know her, of course, but she's not easy to get along with, I can tell you. Ask anybody.
What did you say her name was?
And she has the reputation of being one of the most extravagant girls in Paris, as well as one of the most insincere. I like sincerity, don't you?
It's an admirable quality.
Well, I insist on it. She's the kind who says one thing and thinks another.
Who?
Marguerite, the girl we were talking about.
Marguerite? What is her other name?
Gautier. Not that it's her real name. She had some sort of very common name, I hear, when she came to Paris. There's no use boring you about her. A friend of mine is giving a small party tonight, if you'd care to come.
I detest parties. Thank you for a very charming entree, my dear.
He kisses her hand.
Will I see you again?
I think it's very likely. Sometime. Good evening.
Marguerite sits alone in her box, clutching a handkerchief and gazing ahead indifferently. As the Baron opens her door, she glances back, then smiles.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I hope I don't intrude.
No. You're very welcome, Baron.
I was delighted when I saw that you were alone.
The house lights dim. Now, downstairs, a concessions girl runs up to Armand Duval with a candy tin.
Oh, monsieur, I'm so sorry I kept you waiting. I had to go to two shops before I found your marron glacé.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm in no hurry.
But since nothing but marron glacé would do, these are very fresh. Will monsieur try one?
He helps himself to a glazed candy, then gives the girl some coins from his vest pocket.
Thank you, monsieur.
On the mezzanine, Armand throws open the door to the box and finds it empty. He shrugs and smiles, then notices Marguerite's handkerchief on the floor. Picking it up, he smiles wider, then sobers himself and stuffs the handkerchief in his pocket. Later, inside an ornately decorated home, a stout maid enters Marguerite's sitting room. The Baron sits next to her on a chaise.
Coachman wishes me to remind Monsieur le Baron there are four horses to manage and they're getting restless.
Very well.
Pouting, Marguerite holds his arm.
I must go. I think I'll change my mind and take you with me.
After doctor's warning against Russia.
But Russia isn't cold in summer.
Even so, the trip will be too much for me. I should get tired. I should get ill again. And you'll be bored. Now what shall I give you to remember me by?
You can't give me anything I'd like.
What's that?
A tear. You're not sorry enough I'm going.
Oh, but I am sorry.
She bends her head onto his shoulder.
Is there anything I can do for you before I go?
Yes, I'm going to an auction this afternoon. I would like to buy a pair of horses.
Well, I just gave you a pair.
Yes, but these horses belong to my friend, Eugénie Clivet, who died a few weeks ago. And well, I know she'd like me to have her horses.
Well, what of it if you don't need them?
Olympe wants them. She always wants everything I want, and I just don't want her to have them.
Are you really as jealous of Olympe as all that? I don't believe it.
I'll be frank with you. I want Clivet's horses because I want the coachman. And he'd be miserable without the horses.
Oh, he must be very young and handsome.
Oh, no. He's quite old. He's older than Nanine. But, well, he needs someone to take care of him, and I know Lamp won't.
So much heart and so little sense. I shall take a good look at your new coachman when I come back.
He gives her money from his billfold.
Thank you.
Now goodbye.
Goodbye.
Marguerite accepts his kiss on her cheek.
Goodbye.
Holding her closer, he kisses her lips, then pulls away.
Keep an eye on her, Nanine.
2,240 for this magnificent pair of chestnuts, ladies and gentlemen. Sir,
later, Marguerite and Olympe watch the auction from balconies overlooking a courtyard. The maid, Nanine, calls Marguerite's bids.
3,000.
So that's what you came for. I might have known it. 3,100 francs.
3,750.
Marguerite and Nanine gaze down on the aged coachman who wipes his nose with a cloth. Prudence stands by Olympe.
7.
That's too much. Of course it is. Don't bid it.
I won't.
Only
4,100.
Marguerite whispers.
4,500.
On Olympe's balcony, Gaston grins.
5,000 francs for this magnificent pair of chestnuts, ladies and gentlemen. They can be sold any day for 10.
5,100. 6,000.
Olympe charges over to Marguerite's balcony. Gaston follows with Prudence.
6,000 francs, ladies and gentlemen. Once, twice, ladies and gentlemen. Sold at 6,000 francs.
Well, I hope they don't run away and kill you. I hear they're none too safe.
You go down and settle with the auctioneer, Nanin. Tell the old coachman we'll take him with the horses.
You really have a heart, Marguerite.
Yes, it's going to cost her a lot before she's through. I hope mine never gets that far.
Don't worry, it won't.
It's a great mistake for any woman to have a heart bigger than her purse.
Prudence, did you invite him to my party tomorrow night?
I thought the Baron disliked parties.
Baron won't be there to be bored with my friends.
Have you quarreled?
Not yet. But don't give up hope, Olaf. Au revoir.
Marguerite greets a young woman.
Michelle. Marguerite. How well you look. How happy. Must be love.
It is.
Still the same young man.
Of course. And just think, Marguerite. He talks of our getting married. Just as soon as he's passed his examinations and is a real lawyer.
You seem to think that's very fine of him.
But of course I do. After all, I've no dowry, and he's a gentleman and educated.
Well, even so, why should the mention of marriage go to your head?
But Marguerite, it's ideal to love and to marry the one you love.
I have no faith in ideals. Use yourself if you wish, but remember, you can always do better than a penniless young lawyer.
I never want to do better than Gustave.
Well, time changes our minds as well as our hearts. Perhaps you won't go on being a little goose always. Only, come and see me now and then. Remember, you're my oldest friend in Paris.
I will, Marguerite, soon. I often think of those days we worked together in the linen shop. Oh, I'm so glad to see you today and that you're looking so well.
I always look well when I'm near Beth.
She blows Nichette a kiss. Marguerite wanders into a library where bidders mill about, inspecting books and other items for auction. Something catches her eye and she smiles fondly.
Armand Duval.
He spins around.
Where are my marrons glacés?
I ate them, madame, 6 months ago.
What a pity.
However, I'm glad of this opportunity of returning something belonging to you.
The handkerchief. Yes.
I found it on the floor when I came back.
And you kept it with you all this time?
Yes.
Always with you?
Always with me, like an old friend. To remind me that I'm not the Baron de Varville.
It's not a very romantic reason.
No, I kept it as a warning against romance.
How sensible. Has it made you very cynical?
Yes, very.
Is that why you've never taken the trouble to call on me?
She takes a pill.
Perhaps.
I'm sorry. One needs friends.
Well, I've been looking for you.
Oh, Monsieur. You can see for yourself. She's quite well again.
Oh.
Nanine offers a fur wrap.
Well, or would be if she took proper care of herself.
And why do you think my help would interest Monsieur de Val, Nanine?
Because he came every day when you were ill to ask how you were and to leave flowers.
Marguerite freezes, the handkerchief at her lips.
He's the one?
Tell her yourself, Monsieur. She just said a friend, so I thought...
Cause... All right, Nanine, wait for me downstairs.
Yes, madame.
Nanine curtsies to them both, then leaves the library. Marguerite clutches Armand's hands.
You might have asked to see me.
Well, I knew there were so many others.
There were no others. None. During all those weeks, the doctor thought I might die.
Not even the Baron de Varville?
Baron de Varville chose to be in England at the time. No, you were the only one that took the trouble to ring my bell.
But now...
Oh, now I'm well again and all goes merrily. Would you care to come to the party I'm giving tomorrow night? It's my birthday.
Aren't you afraid you're not strong enough yet to give parties?
Oh, I'm afraid of nothing except being bored. It's supper after the theater.
Thank you. I'll come with pleasure. And bring this little book as a birthday present. Have you read it?
I never read anything. What is it?
Manon Lescaut.
Who is she? A
beautiful girl who lived for love and pleasure.
It's a beautiful color. It should be a very good story.
Yes, it is, but it's rather sad. She dies in the end.
Well, then I'll keep it, but I won't read it. I don't like sad thoughts. However, we all die. So perhaps this will be sold again someday at an auction after my death.
I thought you didn't like sad thoughts.
I don't, but they come sometime. Au revoir, Monsieur de Varville.
Goodbye.
The following night, Marguerite's friends fill a chandeliered room. Prudence waves.
Marguerite, my child.
Yes?
Are we waiting for someone, my dear? Or are we just waiting for supper?
Both.
Armand steps into the room.
I was so afraid you wouldn't come.
He kisses her hand.
Here's the book I promised you.
Thank you. We were just about to sit down. Will you come
home? Oh, I remember you, young man. You're the bogus Baron.
Around the dining table set with candles and camellia centerpieces, the guests take their seats. They include distinguished older gentlemen and boisterous young women.
Be
Marguerite sits at the head between Armand and Gaston.
And how are you this evening, madame?
Very well, and how are you, monsieur?
Good gracious, listen to them. Why so formal?
Why not? This is a very elegant soiree.
Well, elegant or not, if I'm going to enjoy my supper, I've got to take off these tight shoes. Help me, Gaston.
Prudence props her foot on the dining table. A servant brings a tray of roast fowl.
What are those little fellows on that dish?
Partridges, madame.
Put some on my plate.
Sir, how many do you think you're going to get? Partridges are not oysters, you know.
Well, they don't look much bigger than oysters.
A lamp doubles over.
The funniest story I've ever heard in my life. I shall die.
Oh, good evening,
Tony. Get closer.
Leaning across the table, Olamp whispers in an old man's ear.
No fair, tell us all.
The story gets passed along to a bawdy blonde woman, then to Prudence.
Tell me the story, Gaston.
Armand averts his gaze from the raucous scene as guests focus on Prudence.
Oh, I know what's coming. Oh, my God, but you go on.
Oh, I want to laugh too. Tell me the story.
All right, I'll tell you. You've probably heard it before. It's as old as Prudence.
What's that about my being old?
I said the story was as old as you are.
I'm 36.
Drink your wine, Armand. It's as sad as a drinking song.
What's the matter? Are you shocked?
No, certainly not. Only I know all Gaston's jokes. In fact, I told him most of them. Not sooner they weren't repeated at your table.
He sits with a rigid posture.
Come, come. You must remember, I'm not a colonel's daughter just out of the convent.
Marguerite sips her wine. After dinner, Olympe entertains the guests with a can-can dance. Her calf-high velvet boots kick in all directions. Prudence smokes a cigar and watches.
I do this better than anybody! Nobody can do it as well as I can! Slow there, child! You're going too fast!
You're getting tired! Stop playing that thing, or Lamp will drop dead.
She can't keep that up forever. She's not so young.
Faster, I'm just getting into the mood. Woo!
You drop, dear.
Olamp dances faster.
Well, go ahead and jump. I don't care.
She waves her white petticoats from side to side.
Sit beside me, dear.
I'm not tired.
Olamp collapses. Across the room, a guest kneels before Marguerite.
I love you. Oh, no, please go away, please, I adore you.
Armand rescues her.
Play a waltz, Charles.
I don't want to play a waltz, I want to play a polka.
Very well, play a polka. Dance with me, Gaston. Dance, everybody.
Handing Armand her bouquet, she dances off with Gaston. Gaston merrily hops on the balls of his feet as he leads Marguerite in a polka back and forth in the ornate room. Her ringlet curls bounce against her graceful neck, and she grins. Pointing their toes, the dancers kick out and bounce to the left, then kick out to the right. Marguerite begins to cough. Quickly covering her mouth, she waves off Gaston's concerned touch, and they continue their dance. Marguerite stops again and stumbles backward out of Gaston's hands. As Armand frowns, watching her spasms, Gaston dances away in Olamp's arms. Marguerite clutches her handkerchief against her lips and staggers out through a curtained door. Alone in her candlelit sitting room, she pulls off her tulle shawl and flower tiara. Marguerite doubles over in a chair with one hand pressed against her chest. Leaning back, she gasps for air. Armand strides toward the door, then pauses. Inside, Marguerite collects herself, sits up, and picks up a candle. She takes it to a dressing table decorated with a curtained mirror and delicate perfume bottles. Her face straining, Marguerite takes a pill from a small silver box and chews it. As Armand enters, she sees him in the mirror.
Oh, it's you. What's happened? You look ill, too.
Well, it's seeing you like this
suffering.
That's nothing. It lasts only a minute.
You're killing yourself.
If I am, you're the only one who objects. Now, why don't you go back and dance with one of those pretty girls?
She pins a camellia in her hair and on her dress.
Come, I'll go with you.
Taking her delicate hand, Armand presses it adoringly to his cheek.
What a child you are.
Your hand's so hot.
Is that why you put tears on it? Cool it?
Oh, I know I don't mean anything to you. I don't count. But someone ought to look after you. And I could if you let me.
Too much wine has made you sentimental.
She bites her bottom lip, then withdraws from his embrace.
It wasn't wine that made me come here every day for months to find out how you were.
No, that couldn't have been wine. So you really like to take care of me?
Yes.
All day, every day?
All day, every day. Why not?
Why should you care for a woman like me? I'm always nervous or sick or sad or too gay.
But I do care for you.
You know what you should do? You should get married.
His dark eyes gaze at the floor.
Nah. Come, come. You're young and sensitive. The sort of company you're in tonight doesn't suit you at all.
Nor you.
Nonsense. These are the only friends I have, and I'm no better than they are. However, I've given you some very good advice. Now let's go back.
She fondly strokes his sleeve, then holds out her hand for him to take. Armand walks away and brutally stares at the wall.
What on earth am I going to do with you?
He grabs her shoulders and draws her face close to his.
No one has ever loved you as I love you.
That may be true, but what can I do about it?
He tries to kiss her.
You should go away and not see me anymore.
Armand's face hardens. He lets her go.
But don't go in anger. Well, why don't you laugh at yourself a little as I laugh at myself and come and talk to me once in a while in a friendly way?
That's too much and not enough.
Marguerite smiles.
Don't you believe in love, Marguerite?
She looks him in the eye.
I don't think I know what it is.
Oh, thank you.
For what?
For never having been in love.
Oh, how funny you are.
Try to laugh at me. Perhaps your laughter will cure me. Nothing else seems to.
I believe you're sincere, at least.
She pretends to swoon.
After all, when one may not have long to live, why shouldn't one have fancies?
She lifts her face to him.
You see, I'm not laughing anymore.
Arching her slender throat, she accepts his kiss. Marguerite unpins the camellia from her bosom and holds it out to him.
Take this and come back to me when it dies.
How soon will it be?
Tomorrow night.
Armand crushes the blossom.
It's dead already. No.
No, that's impossible.
It's impossible. Send those people away.
I can't.
If I will, I'll tell Muriel. It's true, you're too ill to talk with anyone but me tonight.
If they go, you must go too.
What?
Yes. Come back later alone. Someone will suffer you tonight. Go in the other room and I'll have nothing to get rid of you all.
Heading for the door, Armand stops and turns back.
You're not just sending me for some marron glacé again, are you? How do I know you'll let me in when I come back?
Marguerite walks to her dressing table across the room. Opening a jewelry box, she takes out a shiny key.
There. You can let yourself in when you come back.
You're an angel. I won't go, I can't.
Armand drops to one knee, and Marguerite covers his face with soft kisses. She lingers on his lips, then draws back.
Marguerite Gautier.
They exchange a final kiss. As Armand dashes out, Marguerite falls back against her mirror and buries her nose in a camellia blossom. In the main room, Gaston holds his top hat out of reach.
Ladies, remember, the hat's full of money, and the one kicking it out of my hand gets it all.
One woman gets a running start and kicks as high as Gaston's shoulder. Laughing heartily, she lets other guests try. A lamp shoves them all away.
Get my leg up.
She kicks and nearly falls over. Prudence waves her handkerchief. With a dull, drunken gaze, Prudence gathers up her petticoats and gives a knee-high kick. She notices Nanine among the guests.
Very sorry, but you must send everybody away.
Oh, what a pity. Just when we were having such a good time, too. Bad news, everybody. Party's over.
What?
Marguerite wants us to go home.
She started to cough while she was dancing. I saw that she was ill.
Oh, she's always ill. When anybody's having fun.
What's the matter? Did she drink too much?
Don't be a cat, O'Lamb. Well, it's late anyhow.
Let's go somewhere else. Yeah. Let's go to my place.
I want to keep trying till I kick it.
What about something to eat? I'm just beginning to be hungry again.
Turning as one, Marguerite's guests storm the buffet table.
Help yourself, everybody!
They grab full platters, a champagne bucket, and a silver bowl overflowing with fruit. Prudence leads them out, each guest carrying a dish. Later, Marguerite arranges fresh flowers on a table set for two.
But I thought you wanted your hair done.
I do. Have they been gone long?
Just about half an hour.
Yes, sir. Nanine, you tell the servants to go to bed.
They've gone. But I'll fix supper for the two of you.
Oh, good, Nanine. Darling, Nanine. Perfect, Nanine. Hurry up.
Marguerite blots her lips with a lace handkerchief. Sitting down at her piano, she starts to play. She sways dreamily to the music, then shuts her eyes. In rapt concentration, she takes a long breath, then slowly opens her eyes and sees the Baron de Varville.
Good evening, my dear.
Good evening.
You've lost no time in celebrating my departure, I see.
So you didn't go to Russia after all. I had an idea you wouldn't.
No. You may flatter yourself, I can't do without you.
He kisses her hand.
After driving most of the day, I turned round and drove most of the night back.
Nanine brings in food.
More supper. For two. Whom were you expecting?
You. What of that, Nanine? I have learnt never to believe a man when he says he's leaving town. Won't you have something to eat?
I'm not hungry.
Then drink something.
Come and drink with me.
I'm not thirsty.
I am.
As the Baron sits, Marguerite sends Nanine a glance. De Varville pours champagne while Marguerite plays.
Many happy returns.
Thank you.
Unseen by De Varville, Marguerite stares coldly at his heavy lidded eyes and long sharp nose. His lips draw up in a crafty smile.
This part is so difficult. I hate all the sharps.
I'm afraid your mind's not on it.
Now you know very well I've never been able to play it. But you play it beautifully.
My one merit.
Won't you play it for me?
Aren't you tired? It's very late. Probably you're wishing I'd go home.
Please play.
Spreading his coattails, he sits on the bench. Nanine returns with a lace shawl. She urgently beckons to Marguerite to come to her.
Oh, good, Nanine.
Both doors. The doorbell ring. Don't answer it. No, I won't.
Have you two finished whispering?
I'm sorry. I was just giving Nanine some orders.
I don't doubt it.
Now, play nicely.
In the foyer, Nanine hurries to bolt the front door just as Armand tries the key from outside. Rain specks his cape and top hat. At the piano, Marguerite stiffens. The Baron presses his lips together.
Someday I shall get temperamental and object when doorbells ring while I'm trying to play.
Did the doorbell ring?
Does my music shut out the rest of the world for you?
You play beautifully.
You lie beautifully.
Thank you. That's more than I deserve.
It's not half as much as you deserve, my dear.
Marguerite tries to hold a smile.
I'll see who it is.
Oh, I'll tell you.
Yes?
You won't believe me.
No, I won't. Who is it?
And I might say that there is someone at the wrong door. Or the great romance of my life.
The great romance of your life. Charming.
What might have been?
She throws back her head in a gay laugh. De Varville gnashes his teeth. Now at a country manor, Armand's family celebrates a child's communion.
Let your godmother take your nail now, Mary Shelley.
Oh, no, just a moment.
I want one more look at her. The way she looked when she made her first communion. God keep you always so pure and happy, my child.
The girl's father kisses her.
Come, come and sit down.
The family sits around a table set up outside on the lawn. A priest makes the sign of the cross.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Later.
And now, children, on this happy occasion, I ask you all to rise and drink a toast to the happiness of this family.
They raise their glasses to one another. Armand sips his wine.
And now may I propose the happiness of my dear sister and my dear friend, Louise and Valentin, who've known each other from childhood and are soon to be man and wife.
Louise and Valentin.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
He kisses her forehead.
Now, Mama, you must go in for your nap.
Take my arm.
Such a happy day.
Armand steps aside to speak with his father.
Well, my boy, I'm glad you got down, even though you weren't in time to go with us to the church.
Well, I'm afraid I came for a purely selfish reason, Father.
Oh, you in debt?
No, it isn't that.
In love?
Wrong again.
Well, what then?
I want to travel.
Where?
Anywhere, everywhere. I'm tired of waiting around for the Foreign Office to give me a post. And besides, if I ever do get one, the more I know of the world, the better.
Well, it mightn't be a bad idea. Your income won't let you go very far in any great style.
I could use some of the principal.
You'll do nothing of the sort. Your grandfather's legacy mustn't be touched. However, I have a few thousand francs I can spare.
You mean you'll give me the money?
Why not? I don't know where else you'd get it. You're not such a bad son. When do you want to start?
At once. If I get back to Paris tomorrow, the next morning.
Well...
Now, in Paris, Prudence finds Marguerite writing a note.
But we planned to go to the theater. Why aren't you dressed?
I've changed my mind, Prudence.
Oh, come now, get dressed. I'll wait.
No. Look, how do you spell apology?
Good gracious, how should I know? I'm no scholar.
Even so, you've been living in Paris. 6 years ago, I couldn't even write my own name.
Here's a letter which just came.
Prudence takes it from Nanine.
Oh. Perhaps Nanine knows how to spell apology.
She asked me that once before today. Is it the same apology?
As Marguerite reads her letter, her forehead pinches.
Oh, non, darling, it isn't necessary now.
Well, if that young man has made you unhappy, he's the one who should spell apology.
Wadding the letter, Marguerite hurls it into the hearth fire, then quickly snatches it back out.
It's all my fault. He's going away, Prudence.
Oh, stuff and nonsense. He won't go. They never do.
No, I think he means it. And perhaps it's better. But he had no right to write such things to me.
Of course he didn't. Now, come along. Let's go to the theater.
Yes, but first you'll stop at his place and find out if he's really going away.
Yes.
Later, in a cluttered apartment, Armand packs a bag. He opens the door to the breathless Prudence.
Why on earth does anyone do four flights up?
You come with a message.
Yes, I've got to sit down before I can talk.
For Mademoiselle Gautier?
Yes. Girl's a fool. She wants to know if you're really starting out to see the world, as you wrote her yesterday.
Yes, it's true. I'm leaving in the morning.
Good. You and Marguerite are safer apart.
He opens the door again and finds Marguerite.
Didn't I tell you to wait in the carriage?
She notices his baggage.
Oh, so you really are going away, Armand?
Yes.
Wait down in the carriage yourself, Prudence.
Oh, very well, since I'm not wanted here. No, I think I'd better stay.
I think you'd better not.
Marguerite holds her friend's purse out the window.
Oh! Oh, don't, Marguerite!
You haven't got much time if you want it back.
Oh, don't! Don't, Marguerite! Don't!
Marguerite holds it out of reach, then lets it go. It lands beside their carriage.
Oh, what a girl! What a tease!
Flapping her hands, Prudence runs to the apartment door. Armand smiles as he holds it open, then his face quickly sobers.
You wrote me an unkind letter.
She fingers her handkerchief.
What did you expect? I saw the Baron's carriage.
You were jealous.
Of course.
Well, then, you'd do right in going away.
Now, what does it matter whether I go or stay? I played the fool again, and you've probably been laughing at me ever since.
I didn't laugh at all. I was angry because you dared write such things to me, but I didn't love.
Armand gazes at her.
You should have known it was because I loved you.
Breaking into a smile, Marguerite sits on Armand's lap.
You know, once I had a little dog, and he always looked sad when I was sad. And I loved him so. And when your tears fell on my hand, I loved you too all at once. Oh, there are things that you wouldn't understand, so that's why...
A miniature portrait.
Who's that pretty girl?
Armand smiles.
My sister Louise.
Oh, and the other one?
Another sister.
And that's your mother, isn't it?
Yes.
How happy she looks. Does your father love her very much?
Of course.
Why, they must have been married a long time.
Nearly 30 years.
And they loved each other all the time?
Yes, you sound as though you didn't believe it.
It's hard to believe that there's such happiness in this world.
Armand looks down at his palm.
Marguerite, now you've put tears on my hand. Why?
He turns her face toward his.
You will never love me 30 years. No one will.
I love you all my life. I know that now. All my life.
They kiss. Later, Armand rests his head in her lap.
Sleepyhead.
I wasn't asleep. I was dreaming.
Yes?
Of you.
And?
We were in the country, alone, far away.
Oh, I wish we were.
Marguerite, let me take you to the country.
Yes, any day you like.
No, I mean, let me take you for a long time, until you're well and strong again.
Oh, what nonsense.
Why is it nonsense?
Because it costs money to go to the country.
I have money?
Yes. How much?
7,000 francs a year.
I spend more than that in a month, and I've never been too particular where it came from, as you probably know.
Don't say such things.
Well, it's true.
Give up the Baron.
Marguerite takes a breath, then her head droops, and she looks away.
I must give you up. I've told you before that you should forget me. So you go on your trip around the world and put me out of your mind.
I thought I meant something to you.
You mean too much already. But you're young and your life is before you. You know what mine has been already.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't it?
Marguerite, you need love more than you need money just now. You need care even more than love. I can take such good care of you if you let me.
You wouldn't be happy with me.
No, probably not. Are you with me? I'll leave Paris today.
I was only thinking of you, my dear. I wasn't thinking of myself, really.
He clutches her and presses his face into her hair.
Then come to the country with me.
Well, if I should, for a little while, will you promise not to be jealous? And not to think things that'll make you miserable?
Yes, I promise.
Swear?
I swear not to be jealous if you...
If...
If you swear not to see the Baron again.
No, you see, you'll only torture yourself.
But if you swear?
1 hour from now, you'll ask me to swear about something else. You can't be sensible, Armand.
It's true, I can't. I want too much.
So do I. How can one change one's entire life and build a new one on 1 moment of love? And yet that's what you make me want to close my eyes and do.
Then close your eyes and say yes. I command it.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Back at home, Marguerite paces while Nanine works out the household bills.
I'm going to tell him that I love somebody else. I'm going to the country for the summer.
Prudence arrives.
I'm never going to see him again.
Are you crazy? You may be a fool, but I thought you were an honest girl at least.
It's because she's honest that she's telling the Baron that she's through with him.
What about the money she owes? Who's going to pay it? I always knew you'd ruin yourself and everybody else who ever trusted you.
How dare you say such things about her?
It's true. Doesn't she owe me personally, more than 17,000 francs? And do you think I'd let her leave Paris without having the law on her unless she pays?
I'm going to the country just the same.
And what do you think will happen when the rest of your creditors hear about it and come down on Armand Duval for your debts?
They couldn't do that.
Wait and see. They'll be after you in a pack. Pretty holiday you'll have.
Why can't anything ever be perfect once? What shall I do, Prudence?
You can ask the Baron for money for your debts.
Now that I'm going to leave him.
You don't have to tell him everything, do you?
He's right, madame. If you've really set your heart on going to the country, you've got to get some money from someone somehow.
What is the matter with you anyway, Marguerite? Have you suddenly become a sentimental schoolgirl? There's the Baron now. Sooner this matter is settled, the better.
In the foyer, de Varville takes off his cape.
Oh, my dear Baron, hail and farewell.
Before she leaves, Prudence beckons him close.
I do hope you will encourage this new plan of Marguerite's. A few months in the country would do her a world of good. I know the doctor insists on it.
Really?
Yes. She'll tell you about it herself.
I don't doubt it.
As the Baron comes in, Marguerite pretends to balance her accounts.
Is it?
Hello.
He kisses her hand.
Don't you think these accounts are in a beautiful order?
Beautiful.
Do you think we're very businesslike?
Very. But why?
I decided that these bills ought to be paid. I owe 40,000 francs. Will you lend me the money?
She bats her eyelashes.
No.
Oh, but what will I do?
Come to Russia with me, and you can have as much money as you want.
He leans in close to her.
If you are my friend, why won't you lend me the money anyway?
Because then you might have no further use for me.
Sitting, he deals out playing cards from a deck.
But I don't think you're very generous.
Prudence tells me you plan to go to the country this summer.
Prudence is the chatterbox.
Living quietly 2 or 3 months in the country, alone, obeying your doctor's orders, sounds an admirable idea, but extremely unlike you.
What can you do about it?
I can deliberately put you out of my mind.
Why should you?
It's become a question of either avoiding you or taking you out of this life altogether.
What will you do with me? Lock me up in that gloomy chateau you've got somewhere?
I might.
He grabs her in a clumsy embrace, and she shrugs him off.
No one has to tell me. You found a playmate for this rustic holiday of yours. It's in your face. But my consolation is, I'm well rid of such a fool.
He opens his billfold.
Here's the 40,000 francs you need. But this is my last act of consideration. If ever we meet again, it'll be on a different basis. I never make the same mistake twice.
Marguerite grips his shoulders and kisses both his cheeks.
Thank you.
He slaps her. Marguerite freezes and watches him go with a cold stare. Her breaths quicken, then her hard expression falters. Gazing at the francs in her hand, she closes her eyes and manages a small smile. Now in the country, Marguerite, Armand, and Nanine ride in a buggy driven by a coachman. They pass a small flock of sheep as they round a bend on a tree-lined road. A servant wearing a tunic-style shirt scolds the large dog, then runs to meet the arriving buggy. As they stop, Marguerite sits asleep in the seat. A manservant reaches for a box in Nanine's lap.
Donna!
You look after the other luggage.
I'll take care of these jewels myself.
Yes, madame.
Thank you.
Nanine surveys the house.
It's very big.
Meanwhile, Armand lifts the sleeping Marguerite from the buggy and smiles at her. She wears a black velvet dress and a broad hat fastened with a white ribbon under her chin. A thin, middle-aged maid follows as Armand carries Marguerite through the doorway. Inside, she wakes up and smiles at him.
It's not very grand.
It's heaven.
Untying her hat, she takes it off and kisses him on the lips. Morning. Marguerite lies in bed, grinning. Nanine rushes in.
Madam, are you ill?
No, why should I be ill?
Because you're awake at this early hour in the morning.
I'm not ill. I'm awake and I want to get up, Nanine. Am I dreaming? Are we really here?
We are indeed. And if I'm not mistaken, you'll soon wish you were back in your comfortable house in Paris. Monsieur de Laval, no, Monsieur de Laval. This place is nothing but a hut. There are no gas lights, and you have to fetch every drop of water from a reservoir and heat it on a stove. Can't sleep at night on account of the birds. And before sunup, there was a big noise like more birds, only worse. Chickens, I suppose. Oh, and as for the linen on the beds, it's so coarse I scratched all night.
Oh, and I never slept better in my life, Nanny. How far is it to the inn where Monsieur de Val is staying?
Oh, how should I know, madame?
Now, come, Nanine.
Marguerite hugs her, and she smiles.
He said he'd be over early this morning.
Oh. And I'm so hungry, too.
She gets up and opens a window.
Ah, what delicious air.
The maid comes in, carrying a tray.
Good heavens, you scared me. Can't you knock properly?
Not when I've got my hands full. Besides, a wooden shoe makes a better noise than your bare knuckles. Good morning, madame.
Good morning.
The young gentleman said that you would have milk fresh from the cow for your breakfast.
Madame likes coffee for her breakfast.
No, Nanny, not in the country. I like milk better.
At 10 o'clock, when it's time for you to have another bite, I'll do you a couple of nice fresh eggs.
What kind of cows do you keep?
Jersey.
I thought so. They give the best milk. How do you feed them?
Plenty of red clover, hay, and bran mash.
Now, that's silly. The cows get all the grass they need now. The main thing is not to let them run their feet off.
If they want to run, you've got to let them run.
Oh, no, you don't. I'll take them out walking myself someday, and I'll show you how to manage them.
Later, in a field, Armand and Marguerite walk arm in arm. Smiling, Marguerite stops and rests her head on his shoulder.
Tired?
Only nicely tired. Let's go as far as the top of the hill and see what's beyond.
Yes.
They pass flowers and a tree covered with white blossoms.
I don't care what's behind, do you?
No.
Marguerite stops and gazes into the distance.
Look!
In a valley below lies a grand chateau.
Oh, what a fine sight in this light.
It looks like a castle of a king.
Yes.
When I was a little girl, I always wanted to see what a great chateau looked like inside.
You are tired.
I'm not used to long country walks yet.
Armand spots a passing carriage.
Hello!
The driver stops beside them and tips his top hat.
Good evening.
Good evening, monsieur.
Are you going any distance?
As far as the village, monsieur.
Good. Do you drive us part of the way?
With pleasure, monsieur. Madame?
Thank you. We went much further than we realized.
The driver takes Marguerite's hat while Armand helps her climb up into the seat. Armand sits beside her.
By the way, whose chateau is that?
You must be strangers here, or you'd know it belongs to my master, the Baron de Valville.
Their smiles fade. As the carriage trundles down the country road, Marguerite draws close to Armand, and he leans his head against hers. Another day. Nanine carries a bucket of milk to the house. Armand waits at the door with flowers.
Nanine!
Shh! Put the pail down. I'll carry it for you in a moment.
He hides as Marguerite comes out.
Hasn't any letter come for me yet?
No, madame.
Well, take this book. And if it comes while I'm with Monsieur Armand, put it in between the leaves and send me the book by Jacques.
Very well, madame.
This is something Monsieur Armand must not know about, you know, Nanine.
Yes, madame.
Oh, well, give me the book. I'll explain to Jacques myself.
Frowning, Armand drops the flowers.
She has some good reason, monsieur.
Yes, I'm sure of that.
He paces away slowly. Behind him, Marguerite appears.
Oh, there you are. Ah, oh, isn't it the most beautiful day?
She takes his arm.
Is it so beautiful?
Well, the birds have noticed it.
Later, they walk through a garden.
Why so silent?
Why not? Let's sit down here.
Marguerite's dress spreads around her as they sit under a tree. She sniffs the grass.
Oh, how good the earth smells. It's better than any perfume. Look. Look, I found a four-leaf clover. That's my first good luck. You know, when I was little, I used to hunt for them everywhere, thinking they would change everything. Why so gloomy? If you'll smile, I'll give it to you.
No, no, you keep it. It's yours.
Excuse me. This is the book that Madame was looking
oh,
for.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jacques. Yes.
So you're reading Manolesco after all?
Yes.
No, I won't let you.
Why not?
Because she was unscrupulous and faithless, a liar and a cheat.
Well, you used to like her. After all, she'd loved him just the same.
Ah, he was no better than she was, to share her love with others.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Then she shouldn't have chosen to love a poor man.
Armand, you're hurting me.
Give me that book.
He takes it and pulls a letter from between the pages.
Here's the letter you were expecting.
Read it.
Tearing open the envelope, he takes out a note and reads. Marguerite presses her hand against her forehead. Armand's frown disappears.
So you've been selling your jewelry?
Only a ring, so Michette could have a wedding dress and a small dowry.
He kisses her hand.
Forgive me.
Don't I always when you're jealous?
You're an angel.
Why?
Why don't we give Nichette a real wedding here?
May I?
Of course.
Let's write Nichette this moment and tell her we give her a proper wedding. Will you come and spell the hard words for me?
Getting up, she puts on her hat and dashes across the grass, holding a bouquet of flowers in her arms. Armand follows, the tails of his suit coat flapping behind him. At a small stone bridge, a man leads a flock of sheep across. Marguerite and Armand run along behind them. Now outside the house, Nichette, in a wedding gown, stands with her fiancé before a priest. A few dozen guests surround the young couple. Among them, Marguerite and Armand gaze fondly at each other.
Amen. With this ring, I thee wed.
Prudence cries into Gaston's handkerchief.
I plight unto thee my troth.
And I plight unto thee my troth.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. With this ring, I thee wed.
With this ring, I thee wed.
And I plight unto thee my troth.
Armand watches intently.
In
nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
The priest makes the sign of the cross over them. Then Valentine, the groom, lifts Nichette's veil and gives her a sweet kiss. Prudence hugs Valentine, then pushes Gaston aside to embrace Nichette.
Oh, what a pity. All Paris can't see that dress. It's the prettiest one we've ever turned out of the shop. Oh, congratulations, my thing. Why is everybody crying? Oh, and Nichette. Oh, wasn't it beautiful?
Prudence kisses a stunned gentleman.
Who are you?
I'm the butcher, madame.
She huffs away. Nichette.
Darling Marguerite.
They kiss on both cheeks.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
My little Nichette.
You've made me feel like a princess with a fine wedding gown and a dowry and such a beautiful, beautiful wedding.
I must kiss the bride too.
And I the happy bridegroom.
Standing between the newlyweds, Marguerite and Armand kiss too. Nearby, a small band plays and the guests start to dance. Wearing wooden shoes, the country folk kick up their feet. Later, Gaston waits in a carriage for Prudence.
Pretty, Eklat. Come along, come along.
Don't hurry me.
The men help her into the carriage.
Oh, wine used to go to my head and make me gay, and now it goes to my legs and makes me old.
Get along, get along.
Goodbye.
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 The carriage pulls away, and Armand looks to Marguerite. She smiles shyly and walks away, wearing a long, velvety shawl around her shoulders.
What did you and Prudence have your heads together about so long?
I won't tell you yet.
Of course, she thinks you're a fool for wasting yourself on me. Perhaps you are.
What did Gaston mean by an appointment you'd lost?
Well, it was nothing. Some chap was given a post by the Foreign Office that Gaston seemed to think I might have wanted.
Are you sure you didn't?
Yes, quite sure. It meant my leaving France. Shall we go inside?
We might go to the top of the hill.
Look at the Baron Chateau.
Are you going to spoil a day like this by being jealous?
No, of course not, only I always know he's there.
But I'm always here.
She gazes up at him with her dark eyes.
Don't ever leave me.
He draws her into a close embrace.
I never will. But you... I can't bear our summer to end, Marguerite.
Nor I.
Could you go on living like this?
I couldn't live any other way now.
Listen, I've written my father asking him to turn my money over to me.
Oh, why?
So I can make plans for our future. And you won't have to live in two rooms, five flights up like Nichette either. You'll have a little house and a garden, all your own. I'm leaving for Paris tomorrow to see the lawyer who made my grandfather's will.
Do you know what I asked Prudence to do tomorrow?
No, what?
Sell everything and pay everything. So I could take a flat like Nichette's with what I have left.
Really? You mean you give up everything for me?
Everything in the world. Everything.
She gives him a brief, open-mouthed kiss.
Never be jealous again. Never doubt that I love you more than the world. More than myself.
Then... marry me.
Her smile fades into a frown.
What?
I married you today. Every word the priest said was meant for us. And in my heart, I made all the vows. To you.
And I to you.
Then...
No, that isn't fitting. Let me love you. Let me live for you. Don't let me ask any more from heaven than that. God might get angry.
She presses her face against his shoulder. Now, on another day, bees swarm around a tree.
Oh, why does anybody want to keep bees anyhow? They're so fickle. If they want to fly away, let them fly away.
They will fly away when they get the swarming fever. Unless we make so much noise, they'll stop and settle down again.
They're going to settle in that tree. Look.
Nanine and Marguerite wear nets over their heads.
Yes. Every time I eat a mouthful of honey, I'll think what rules me from doing this.
Who knows the bee song? All together now.
Marguerite and the servants dance around below the swarm, holding wooden spoons and pans. The dog stands on its hind legs and barks up the trunk of the tree. Marguerite looks to the road where a carriage pulls up carrying Monsieur Duval. She goes to meet him.
Please don't think I'm mad, monsieur. Did you want to see someone?
Mademoiselle Gautier?
Yes.
I was told at the inn that I'd find my son here.
Your son?
Armand Duval.
Oh.
She curtsies.
Yes, Armand Duval is very often here. But he's in Paris today. Do you wish to come in?
Thank you.
He climbs down from the carriage and follows her to the house. Marguerite eyes him gravely.
I'm sorry your son isn't here, monsieur.
Well, it's just as well. I didn't look forward to seeing him with any pleasure under the circumstances. As a matter of fact, I'm glad to be able to talk to you directly and frankly. You see, I know what's been going on here.
Of course, you don't think me worthy of your son. You're right, I'm not.
No. No woman is worthy of a man's love who's willing to let him ruin himself for her, as you're doing.
I don't know what you've heard, but it isn't true.
Armand has told me himself that he wants to take his modest fortune out of my hands at once. The reason is obvious, isn't it? Can you deny he wants the money for you?
Whatever the reason, I hope you won't let him have it, monsieur.
I wish I could believe you are sincere.
A few years ago, I lived on bread and soup. I can manage very well without taking anything from Armand.
I still say what I came here to say. This thing must end at once.
You might as well save your breath, monsieur.
She goes to a window.
How long have you known Armand, madame?
3 months and 12 days, monsieur.
3 months and 12 days. And how long do you expect this thing to last?
Oh, you've never known love to last, monsieur.
Never, when it was unsanctified by marriage, unblessed by children or social ties.
I shall love Armand always. And I believe he shall love me always, too.
Always,
huh? Always.
Hasn't your own experience taught you the human heart can't be trusted?
I think I know my own heart better than you can, monsieur. And I can trust it not to change.
No woman, unprotected as you are, can afford to give the best years of her life to a man who, when he leaves her, will leave her with nothing, and who is certain to leave her in the end.
I don't suppose you can understand how any woman, unprotected as you say I am, can be lifted above self-interest by a sentiment so delicate and pure that she feels only humiliation when you speak of such things.
I realize now that you do love him, unselfishly. But even so, I say it can't go on.
But it will go on.
Armand is a young man with his way to make, with a career waiting for him. And in his case, he can't serve his best interests by being tied to a woman he can't present to his family or his friends.
Armand is no different than other men.
Oh, come, madame. Be honest. Haven't you found him different? Haven't you found him more sensitive, more loyal? Or am I prejudiced because I am his father?
No, Armand is different.
And so, you see, as long as Armand loves you, he'll not enter rooms that you can't.
But a man can go back. He can always go back. Monsieur, suppose I told you I have the feeling I shan't live very long.
Well, then I'd scold you for being fanciful and a little foolish. What you probably feel is the melancholy of happiness, that mood that comes over all of us when we realize that even love can't remain at flood tide forever.
But all Armand, I'm doomed.
With him, you're both doomed. Without a profession of any sort, what can he do? Unless he sinks so low, he's willing to let some other man foot the bills for his life with you.
You don't know Armand. You wouldn't say that.
No one knows the man he might become if he loses his self-respect. But I think that's too high a price to pay even for love. I want Armand to enjoy life, not to be sacrificed to it. You see, my son is as dear to me as he possibly can be to you.
Yes, but you have others who are dear to you. I have only Armand. You don't know how I've changed. And he taught me that love is not always selfish, nor goodness dull, nor men faithless. No, you can't expect me to give up such love as his.
Think what's best for him. Think what you'd want for him if he were your own son. Then think how you're killing his right to a normal life. Try to realize that everything you're ashamed of in your own past would only taint his future. You tell me that you love him. I believe you. That's why I'm able to stand here, a man who's getting old, and ask this great sacrifice of you, as humbly as I'd ask a great favor of a queen. I can give you nothing in return except my thanks and my respect. Please give him up.
What shall I do?
Talk to him, to tell him he must leave you.
I have talked.
Leave him.
He'd follow me.
Tell him you don't love him.
He wouldn't believe me.
She gazes out the window, then turns to Duval.
No. I know only one way. But I shan't tell you what it is. Oh, I knew I was too happy.
What are you going to do?
Don't let yourself think of that. I'll send him back to you tonight.
How can I ever repay you for all you're doing for me?
She gazes steadily at him.
Make no mistake, monsieur. Whatever I do, it's nothing for you. It's all for Armand.
I thank you just the same. And I shall never forget what I... and my family owe you.
Marguerite kneels on the floor with her arms draped over a table. Standing wearily, she follows Monsieur Duval to the door. As he turns to go, she touches his arm.
Goodbye, monsieur. Don't reproach yourself. You've done only what Armand's father should have done. Only don't let him know it. He might hate you. And I don't want that to happen. Because he shall need all the courage and comfort you can give him. For a long time, I think.
God bless you, Margaret Gauthier.
He gently kisses her forehead, then leaves. Marguerite stands with her head bowed. A tear falls from her cheek. Later, in her room, Marguerite sits at a desk, sobbing as she writes. Nanine bustles in, wearing a black and white maid's uniform.
Did the gentleman go?
Well, madame, what's the matter?
I want you to take this letter. Give it to Baron de Larville yourself.
I thought you were so happy at last with Monsieur Duval.
I was.
I don't know what's in it, but I know the very thought of this one makes you shudder. Are you sure you want me to take it?
There's gone on him. And pray for me. Pray for me now. I have the strength to go through with what I have to do.
Oh, your hands are like ice, child. Tell Marion what you're going to do.
Oh, make my lover hate me. Make him hate me. Oh, God, help me.
Frowning, Nanine takes the letter away. Later, Marguerite paces in the living room wearing a white dress that bears her smooth, broad shoulders. Her hair is drawn back from her face in tight ringlets. She wears a single white camellia tucked in the bodice of her dress. Armand steps in with a bouquet of camellias.
Hello, I'm back.
Oh, I didn't hear you, driver.
She shoots a cool glance over her shoulder, then pretends to read a book. Armand kneels beside her, beaming. Handing her the flowers, he cups her cheek and draws her face to his for a kiss. She tries to turn, but their lips meet.
Why are you all dressed up? You're not going to a ball, are you?
No. I wish I were. You don't know of any balls I might be asked to, do you?
Well, if you're really serious, I brought you an invitation.
Really? Mm-hmm.
From your friend Olamp. There's a new gambling club opening next month, and she suggests that we go together.
Where did you see Olamp?
Well, she dropped in the shop while I was talking to Prudence about your affairs.
I didn't ask you to discuss my affairs with Prudence, and I did ask her not to talk to you about them.
Marguerite, you're angry. Do you realize that we're almost quarreling?
Well, everybody quarrels. Keeps people from getting bored.
Something happened today. What was it? I want the truth.
Well, this morning the bees left the hive and we had to bring them back. This afternoon I washed my hair. Those are the two exciting events of my day.
This time, my lady, you changed completely. I come back to you happy with good news.
What do you call good news? You've been left large fortune?
No, Marguerite, but I find that I can do as I please with my small one.
Well, don't you touch it. Why, you'll be rich for 1 month and then have nothing.
That's what you're afraid of. You needn't worry.
He pulls her close.
We have something better to do with this money than play at being rich, even for a month. Nichette and Gustave are already looking for a house for us.
They're the sort of people that thinks 2 rooms wonderful, 3 rooms a mansion, and more than 4 rooms wicked.
Armand studies her mocking smile.
What's the matter?
That's what I'm wondering.
Her smile fades, and she pulls him into a desperate embrace.
Oh, darling, darling. I'd begun to think you didn't love me.
Perhaps I don't, really.
You know, only last night, you were ready to give up everything for me.
Well, it was last night. You know, people say things they don't mean sometimes at night. Well, life is something besides kisses and promises in the moonlight. Even you should know that.
Across the room, she strikes a casual pose. Armand swallows tightly.
Yes?
Wasn't one summer all you wanted?
He gazes at her with a confused frown, then slowly raises his eyebrows.
So you're going to leave me?
Yes.
Rising slowly from the couch, Armand paces toward her, his eyes glaring. He grabs her bare shoulders and shakes her.
I can pay you for this.
I'm not worth killing, Armand. I've loved you as much as I could love. If that wasn't enough, I'm not to blame. We don't make our own hearts.
Yes, that's true. You're no more to blame because yours can be faithful only a few weeks than I am because mine will be faithful as long as I live.
Yes, that's how it is.
Marguerite keeps her back to him.
It's as if one of us had died, Marguerite, suddenly. I dreamed it. Where are you going?
Baron de Varville is expecting me.
Armand turns away sharply and leans against the mantelpiece.
At last, I shall see what a great chateau looks like inside.
Clutching a handkerchief, Marguerite rushes from the room and leaves the house through the front door. Armand leans heavily on the mantelpiece, his gaze downcast. He glances aimlessly around the room. Slowly, he straightens and paces away from the fire. Looking across the room, he knits his brow. He goes to the window, opens it, and gazes out at the countryside. In the moonlight, Marguerite walks up a hill leading away from the house. The light shimmers on her white shawl and flowing white dress. She reaches the crest of the hill and disappears from view. Now in Paris, finely dressed men and women crowd an elegant ballroom filled with gaming tables. Uniformed waiters carry glasses of champagne on silver trays, and men in tuxedos greet each other. A grand staircase curves down into a foyer where Gaston stands with Prudence and a tall, rotund man. Prudence scans the crowd through her lorgnette glasses.
And this, madame, is the newest and finest of all the private gambling clubs in Paris. I hope you're impressed.
Must be a pleasure to lose money in such a charming place. I wonder who's here.
Everyone has anything to lose or nothing.
Gaston stares across the foyer.
Am I dreaming or do I see a flock of birds?
No, it's Olympe.
Olympe struts in with a silver-haired man.
Hello, darling. Good evening, General.
Toy birds trim her dress. Gaston finds a small nest.
Would anybody like an omelette?
Stop that, you nasty thing. You'll pardon us. The General wants to play. So nice to have seen you.
She strides off.
Well, what I could say about that one.
There's Armand Duval.
Armand, my boy.
Hello, Prudence.
How were you looking?
I return the compliment.
She pulls him aside.
I think I ought to warn you. Marguerite is coming here tonight with a baron.
Well?
These things can't last forever. Your little adventure was costing Marguerite more than she could afford.
It cost her nothing.
Oh, what a child you are. Who do you think furnished the money for Marguerite's debts before she left Paris? And what do you think would have happened if she hadn't left you when her money was gone?
And now?
The Baron has promised to put her affairs in perfect order.
Good.
Then you don't really hold it against her?
No, why should I? The past is dead. Heaven rest its soul, if it had one.
You have more sense than I gave you credit for.
Hello!
Oh. Come on!
Hello, John. Hello, Gaston.
Hello. Well, when did you get back to...
Prudence grabs his arm.
That is.
On a grand staircase, Marguerite descends arm in arm with de Varville. She wears a black dress with puffy tulle sleeves and a jeweled bodice. At the bottom of the stairs, she sees Armand. Staring at him, she drops her fan. She reels unsteadily as if about to faint. The Baron regards Armand with a cool gaze, then turns to Marguerite.
You dropped your fan.
She looks down at it with a puzzled frown.
I said you've dropped your fan.
Glancing at him wearily, she slowly stoops down. Reaching out with her graceful, gloved hand, she picks up the fan off the floor.
I don't feel well. I'd like to go home.
I insist on you staying. Come.
He offers his arm and she leans heavily on it. Prudence and Armand approach. As Prudence engages the Baron, Armand gazes at Marguerite.
I'm so glad you've come, dear. Good evening, Baron.
Good evening.
Of course, you know each other. Monsieur Duval?
No.
You're late.
We went to the theater, Prudence.
No, what was the play?
Man or Let's Go.
Oh, yes.
Story of a man who loved a woman more than his honor. And a woman who wanted luxury more than his love. You should have found that very entertaining.
Isn't that your tune, Marguerite?
Madame, you've dropped your fan.
Armand picks it up.
Thank you.
Any gentleman would have done the same.
The Baron steps toward him.
Aren't you playing, Baron?
Yes, where's the baccarat table?
Yes, Gaston, where is it?
Straight ahead.
I only play for high stakes.
Good. Should like to make a fortune tonight.
Armand strides across the ballroom.
Come, Marguerite.
I'd rather not play if you don't mind.
You can watch.
The Baron leaves.
I can't watch Prudence. Armand may lose. He may lose everything, and it's my fault.
You needn't worry, dear. He doesn't blame you at all.
That isn't true. His voice is too cold and his face is too pale.
She passes through the ballroom.
Monsieur le Baron wins.
She casts a worried glance at the table where Armand and the Baron place bets, then goes to a sitting room and shuts the door. Inside, a maid tidies a tray of crystal decanters. Marguerite stands by the fireplace, her bare shoulders hunched over as she coughs.
Can I get Madame anything?
Holding a black handkerchief to her mouth, Marguerite shakes her head.
Yes. Will you take a message to Monsieur Armand Duval? Tell him I would like to speak to him at once.
How will I know the gentleman?
Well, he's playing at the first table, and he's the youngest and handsomest man there.
I'll find him, madame.
The maid goes out and scans the faces at the table.
Well done, Armand. 20,000 francs.
She beckons a waiter and points out Armand.
Armand wins again.
The Baron sits by glumly as Armand collects a stack of money.
Let us stand.
Oh.
Lose it all. Let us stand. Good. Well, my revenge. Take it if you can. Only I warn you. Lucky in love, unlucky at cards.
That also means lucky at cards, unlucky in love.
We shall see.
Make your bets, please, gentlemen.
Card.
The Baron slides a card to Armand, who glances at it carefully. A third player sits across the table.
No card.
The Baron checks his cards, keeping them close. Armand throws his down.
Eight.
Seven.
De Varville folds. He scowls as Armand collects more money. As he gathers the stack of large bills on the table, the waiter approaches and whispers in his ear.
Make your bets, please, gentlemen. Make your bets.
Armand leaves the table, and a young woman takes his place. In the sitting room, Marguerite rises as Armand steps in and shuts the door behind him.
You sent for me, madame?
Yes. I want to beg you, leave this place at once.
Why?
Baron de Varville is not a patient man, and you're in a mood to quarrel with him tonight.
Naturally, you don't want to lose your rich admirer, I understand. Your own fortunes would fall with him.
Armand, he's not to blame for what happened, but I swear...
Then how could you do what you did? I'll tell you. Because your heart is the thing that can be bought and sold. Yes, I know you gave it to me for a whole summer. But when it came to a choice, the jewels and carriages he could give you were worth more than my love, my devotion, my life.
Yes, that's true. I'm a completely worthless woman, and no man should risk his life for me. For that reason alone, I beg you, leave this place at once.
He draws close and takes her hand.
I will, on one condition, that you will go with me.
No.
I came back to Paris to tell you that I despise you, and I do.
He clutches her.
But I love you too.
No.
So you'll go away with me. We'll forget the past. We'll never turn back.
No, no.
I doubled my fortune tonight at his expense. And when that's gone, I'll work. I'll beg.
I'll borrow. I'll steal.
But I must be with you always.
He kneels, clinging to her.
When I hear you talk of such a future, I realize I'm right in doing what I did. Look, do you suppose we could ever be happy together, even if I were free to act as I choose?
But you are free. We're both free.
I've given a solemn promise never to return to you.
To whom?
To someone I had the right to ask.
To the Baron de Varville.
Yes.
Then you do love him.
She avoids his gaze.
Dare to tell me that you love him. You're free of me forever.
He pulls her close.
I love him.
Loosening his grip, he goes to the door and flings it open.
Come in. Come in here, all of you. You see this woman? You know her? Then listen to what I'm going to say. I accepted her favors because I thought she loved me. I let her make sacrifices for me when there were others who had more to give. But bear witness, I owe her nothing.
He holds out his winnings.
Go on, take it! Buy camellias, buy diamonds, horses and carriages, buy moonlight, buy a grave!
I congratulate you, monsieur. You know how to treat a woman as she deserves. Like the cheat this one is.
Armand slaps him.
You shall answer to me for this.
Send me word when and where.
Armand strides out, and Marguerite collapses into a chair.
Come, gentlemen. Let us continue our play.
Come, gentlemen.
Prudence and Nanine follow the Baron out, leaving Marguerite doubled over in her chair. Only Gaston stays behind and shuts the door after them. Daytime. A carriage stops, and Marguerite and Prudence climb out. Lifting the skirts of her dress, Marguerite starts to run. Ahead in a grassy park, the Baron and Armand face each other with pistols. Eyes wide, Marguerite dashes toward the park. Gaston runs to meet her.
He's safe.
Thank God. Oh, thank God.
But the Baron's wounded. That means Armand must leave the country to avoid arrest. He's already on his way.
My letter?
I'm sorry, he sent it back. He wouldn't open it.
Gaston pulls a small envelope from his vest and returns it to Marguerite. She rips it up and walks back to the carriage. Now at the theater, Can-Can girls kick their legs high, then turn and flip up the backs of their skirts. In one of the gilded box seats, Prudence laughs and Olympe smiles as she gazes through opera glasses at the stage. The house lights come up and Olympe looks around.
Who's here we know? Oh, there's someone now.
Come in.
Armand!
Well,
do sit down.
Well, when did you get back to Paris?
About a week ago.
Why hasn't anyone seen you?
Where have you been, anyhow?
All sorts of places.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't kill the Baron and have to stay away for years instead of months. Have you seen Marguerite? I'm sorry. I meant...
Gaston steps in.
How does Paris look for the traveler?
Same as it looked 6 months ago. Same girls, singing the same song on the same stage.
And I'm still wearing the same dress, alas.
Don't hint. Nobody's going to buy you a new one.
Only Marguerite didn't hear.
However, I suppose there are worse places.
I said Marguerite didn't hear.
Don't shout. We all heard you.
Do you know that she's been ill, Armand?
Stop teasing Armand, Gaston. Can't you see that he isn't interested?
Aren't you?
No, not particularly.
After all, why should he be? It's nothing new. Marguerite is always ill or pretending to be.
You really have a nasty tongue, haven't you?
What? If you mean to insinuate that I hadn't been a good friend of Marguerite Gauthier, ask Prudence what I've done for her. Just ask her.
It's true. That angel has been buying Marguerite's things, all of her jewelry, one after another.
Look.
Why?
So she could raise some money. Ever since you had the duel with the Baron, he's refused to see...
Shut up, Olympe. I know more about that than you do. Marguerite won't see the Baron or any other man who might help her. In spite of all my motherly advice.
Well, that's what you say. Only this last week I bought this. Look.
Oh, you couldn't get it for 5,000 at the jeweler's. How much?
200 louis. Am I smart?
As the house lights dim, Gaston stands and puts a hand on Armand's shoulder.
Shall we go round out to its Marcachis?
I couldn't.
The light from the stage glows on Armand's troubled face. Later, Gaston enters Marguerite's house.
Hello, Nadine.
Monsieur.
How is she tonight?
Oh, I don't know, Monsieur. The doctor tells me nothing. Oh, forgive me, Monsieur, but these are bad times.
There must be something I can do.
There's nothing anybody can do. Watch and wait.
Well, I'll watch and wait while you get some rest.
All the good cards.
Two men play cards in the sitting room.
You'll have to get out of here, my men.
We are here for the benefit of the creditors by order of the court to see that nothing's taken out of the house. And here we're going to stay.
There's a passage outside. You can wait there instead. This room still belongs to Mademoiselle Gauthier, you know.
Our orders are to see that...
You can see that nobody goes out of that door with a piano in his pocket as well there as here.
Oh.
Get out. Get out.
Gaston rips one of the men's cards away and throws them on the table. Glancing at each other, the two men get up and leave. Gaston brings some pillows to Nanine, who sits half asleep on a couch.
Lie down. I'll call you the minute she stirs.
He gently lays her head on the pillows, then goes to Marguerite's door. Two collection men hover outside. Brushing past them, Gaston picks up some wrapped flowers and goes in. Inside, light from the fireplace flickers over the heavy draperies and fancy upholstered chairs. Gaston opens the wrapped bouquet and takes out a nosegay of white camellias. He goes to the bed where Marguerite lies sleeping. Light from the bedside lamp casts a glow on her peaceful face. Smiling, he lays the camellias beside her, then paces to the fireplace. On the mantle, a black velvet purse lies next to a clock. Gaston gazes at the purse, then picks it up and puts in a few bills of his own money. Setting the purse down, he turns his back to the fire and gazes across the room. Then, taking a seat on a nearby couch, he keeps watch over Marguerite. Morning. Sunlight filters into the room through lacy curtains. By the low, flickering fire, Gaston sits asleep on the couch. Across the room, Marguerite lies propped up with pillows. Waking, she holds her hand to her mouth. Gaston goes to her side.
This morning.
Yes, dear child.
Any letters?
No. It's too early for the postman.
She frowns.
Who are you?
Gazing at him, she smiles and touches his arm.
Gaston.
Nanine's sleeping. I made her lie down and let me take her place when I looked in after the theater.
Dear Gaston, so you've been here all night?
Well, I was thinking of taking you for a drive, or maybe later for a bit of lunch.
Still make me laugh. Not today. Some other time.
All right, another time.
She sees the camellias and smiles. Gaston smooths her hair from her forehead as she breathes their scent.
How kind you are. No, I used to think you were such a gay fellow, with no other thought but for pleasure. Forgive me.
But you were right. Yeah. Drink this.
He lifts her head and rests it against his shoulder.
It'll do you good.
Nothing will do me good anymore, Gaston. Except Armand's return.
Armand's return?
Yes. That's what I'm waiting for. That's why I live. He will come back. Won't he, Gaston?
Well, of course he'll come back. How could he come to Paris without coming straight to you? Here, drink this.
She smiles and takes a sip of water.
I feel better already.
Nanine comes in and peers around the curtains at the bed.
It's all right, Nanine. She's awake.
Poor Nanine. Are you tired last night?
Oh, little madame. Oh, that Madame Prudence is here on her way home from a party.
I'll get rid of her.
As he goes to the door, Prudence barges in.
Oh, so that's why you ran away from us, you naughty boy.
She bustles past him to the bed.
Hello, my child. Oh, why, I expected to find you dying. And you look better than I've seen you look for months. How are you, anyhow? Well, you certainly look better than I feel. Oh, heavens, what worries I've had this past week. I couldn't, by any chance, borrow some money from you, could I?
If you don't know how little money there is in this house, you should.
Well, I've simply got to get 200 francs from somewhere. Now, I didn't intend to ask you for it. In fact, I didn't intend popping in on you like this. But as I passed your door, I just remembered you still owe me some.
I didn't know, Prudence.
I can show it to you on my ledger.
If you look around, you'll find my purse somewhere. You'll see I haven't but a few francs in the world.
Prudence rushes past Gaston. Finding the purse on the mantle, she reaches inside.
Why, it's full! 1,000 francs! Well, I'll just help myself. Oh, did you know Armand Duval was in Paris?
Marguerite gapes.
Armand? When did he get back?
Why, almost a week, I gathered. Gaston told him you were ill, but he didn't seem terribly interested. Oh, men are funny. Goodbye, my dear. Goodbye, Gaston. Goodbye.
Marguerite gazes up at her friend.
Gaston.
Yes?
Thank you for filling my purse.
Oh, that was nothing.
Could you do me one more favor, Gaston?
Of course.
Send for the priest.
Her eyes flutter shut, and she draws quick, shallow breaths. Gaston bows his head sadly. Later, Nichette sits in the foyer outside Marguerite's room, crying. Gaston and the collection men also wait. Nanine goes to open the front door. It's Armand.
Where is she? Let me see her. Make her see me.
Oh, my dear boy, if you only knew how happy, how happy.
The bedroom door opens, casting light on their faces. Armand's smile fades, and he joins Nanine and the others as they kneel with their heads bowed. Two acolyte boys come out before a white-haired priest wearing lace vestments over his dark robe. As they leave, everyone rises. Armand clutches Nanine's arm.
Nanine, it's not too late.
No, no. Let us hope not. Let us hope you'll make her well again.
He starts toward the bedroom door.
No. Wait. Let me prepare her first.
Armand lets her go ahead of him. She hurries into the room where Marguerite lies in bed with her eyes closed.
Madame. I've good news, madame.
Marguerite stirs.
There can't be any good news.
But there is. Only you must be calm. You mustn't get excited. He's here, madame. He's come back.
He's back. But he won't come to see me.
But he has come. He's here.
Marguerite knits her pale brow. Her eyes glisten with tears.
He's here, madame. Yes, yes. Now, only be calm, and I'll call him.
No. Not yet. He mustn't see me like this, Nanny. Help me to the mirror.
No, you mustn't think of getting out of bed.
I'll brush my hair. Get me some rouge. Help me, Nanny.
No. What would the doctor say?
What does it matter? I must look my...
Nanine holds her down.
Nanny. I beg you, Nanin. You must help me, Nanin. Come now. I beg you, Nanin. Come, Nanin.
Oh, I shouldn't do this. You don't think he cares how you look. He knows you've been ill.
Holding Marguerite in a tight hug, Nanine helps her to her feet. Marguerite leans heavily on her and tries to walk.
You always said he'd come back, didn't you, Nanine?
Yes. Yeah. Sit here.
Marguerite sinks into an upholstered chair by a mirror.
Here are all your things.
My camellias. Nanine, I'll even have camellias.
Going to the bed, Nanine gazes sadly at Marguerite, then gathers the flowers and brings them to her.
I'll be beautiful again, and I'll be well again.
Of course.
I can't wait. Call him now, Nanine. Call him now.
Yes.
Marguerite struggles to arrange the camellias on her nightgown as Nanine goes to the door.
Yeah.
Armand steps in. By the mirror, Marguerite stands, using a chair to support herself.
Marguerite.
Armand.
Marguerite.
Beaming, he goes to her, and she collapses in his embrace.
Oh, it's you. It's not a dream.
No, it's not a dream. I'm here with you in my arms, at last.
At last. Oh.
You're weak.
No, no. Strong.
She smiles as he helps her into the chair.
It's my heart. It's not used to being happy.
Oh, there you are. I've been down in the street half the night, walking back and forth under your window, just as I did when I first knew you. Wanting to come up, but not daring to. I felt so guilty. I didn't know how ill you were. I've been everywhere trying to forget how much I loved you, and when I came back a week ago, I was still determined to forget you. Forget you. As if I could.
She touches his cheek.
Forgive me.
Forgive you.
And to think, I couldn't see into this heart I knew so well, and see that it was sacrificing itself for me. No good can come to either of us without the other. I know that now.
I know that, too.
And nothing shall ever separate us again. The future is ours. My whole life belongs to you. I'll take you far away from Paris, where there are no unhappy memories for either of us.
Yes.
Where the sun will help me take care of you and make you well again.
Yes.
We'll go back to the country, where we were happy all one summer.
Oh, if only we could. If only we could.
We can. We will, as soon as you're well enough.
Well, I'm well now. Call Nanine.
Nanine.
Take me today.
Nanine!
Nanine, help Madame to dress.
We're going to the country today.
Nanine frowns.
Don't worry, I'll take good care of her. You must come along, too.
Yes. I'm going to the country, Nanine. Get my things out. Don't stare at me, Nanine. Go.
With tear-filled eyes, Nanine goes, while Armand helps Marguerite to stand. She smiles, then goes limp.
Oh!
Her head lolls back. Catching her, Armand brings her to the chair.
Nanine! Nanine! Nanine, get the doctor quickly!
The doctor? If you can't make me live, how can he?
No, no. Don't say such things, Marguerite. You live. You must live.
Perhaps it's better if I live in your heart, where the world can't see me. If I'm dead, there'll be no stain on our love.
Don't think such things, Marguerite. Even if we can't go to the country today, think of how happy we were once, and how happy we shall be again. Think of the day you found the four-leaf clover and of all the good luck it's going to bring us. Think of the vows we heard Nichette and Gustave make, and that we're going to make to each other. This is for life, Marguerite.
Her eyes are closed. Leaning her back into the chair, Armand desperately searches her tranquil face.
Marguerite. Now, don't leave me. Marguerite, come back.
Bye.
Armand presses his face against Marguerite's still bosom. Words appear. The end. A Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture. Fade to black.